Entertain a motion to have executive session back in the regular session.
So move.
Motion to Mr. Hudson, second to Mr. Riley. Any questions? Take the vote, Mr. Schaefer.
Yes.
Mr. Green.
Yes.
Mr. Hudson.
Yes.
Mr. Riley.
Yes.
I will yes. Now we're back in regular session. Mr. Moore, and a possible action on executive session items.
Yes, Mr. President, there were discussions concerning the items that were posted on the agenda, and for the item concerning land acquisition, it would be appropriate now for council to move to grant the county administrator the ability to negotiate, enter into a contract, and proceed to closing on parcel identified as 2021W.
Entertain that motion.
So moved.
Motion, Mr. Riley. Second.
Second.
Mr. Schaefer. Questions on the motion? We'll take the vote, Mr. Schaefer.
Yes.
Mrs. Green.
Yes.
Mr. Riley.
Yeah.
Mr. Hudson.
Yes.
I will yes. Motion carried. Thank you. Next thing, discussion of possible action related to appeal of Sussex County Planning and Zoning Commission decision to deny subject.
Yes, so Mr. Schaefer is going to leave at this time, and yep. Also I'd like to point out for the record that Mr. Schaefer was not involved in the executive session portion where any discussions took place concerning this appeal.
Okay. Mr. Lawson, I guess you're going to leave this, or Mr. Whitehouse is.
We're at the discussion and possible action yes. related to an appeal on, yes, this agenda item is a discussion and possible action related to an appeal on the Sussex County Planning and Zoning Commission decision to deny subdivision application number 2020-8, known as Lock Haven. As you know, Mr. President, we did hold an appeal hearing back in December related to this matter, and at the conclusion of that hearing, Council decided not to take action, and I believe today there is a possibility of a motion for your consideration related to the appeal by the applicant. Does anyone have a motion that they would like to consider?
I do.
Mr. Vincent, I thought you might.
Yeah, well, that's part of the whatever. I'm going to just so you can hear me. Bear with us, this is a long motion, so bear with me, please. This is an appeal of the Planning and Zoning Commission denial of a subdivision application for Lockwood Subdivision Number 2020-8, filed by Lockwood Farms, LLC. I move that the Council affirm the Commission's denial of the application for the following reasons. The standard review for appeals from Commission decisions does not permit Council to substitute its own opinion for that of the Commission, nor does it permit a rehearing of what was before the Commission. It was a hearing of record, and the Council's review is limited to that record. In reviewing the Commission's decision on appeal, Sussex County Code 99-39-2 states, the Council shall review the record of the hearing before the Commission and shall make a determination as to whether the Commission's decision was the result of an orderly and logical review of the evidence and involved the proper interpretation and application of the chapter. The Delaware Supreme Court held that the Commission's consideration of subdivision plan application acts in a manner that is partly in a ministerial and partly a judicial capacity. And therefore, an appeal to the appealing body must determine whether the decision is supported by substantial evidence and is free from legal error. Substantial evidence means such relevant evidence as a reasonable mind might accept as adequate to support a conclusion. The Council review is limited to correcting errors of law and determining whether substantial evidence exists to support the Commission's findings of fact, and that when substantial evidence exists, the Council will not reweigh it or substitute its own judgment for that of the Commission. Therefore, if there is substantial evidence that demonstrates the Commission's decision was based on an orderly and logical review of the evidence and the law was accurately applied, the Council must uphold the Commission's approval. In its December 13, 2021 appeal letter, the appellant states and relies upon the principle that the Delaware Supreme Court has held that people who own land zoned for a specific use are entitled to rely on the fact that they can implement that use, provided the project complies with the subdivision's ordinances subject to reasonable conditions imposed by the Planning Commission to minimize impact. Appeal letter, page one. However, the appellant did not effectively address the mandatory considerations for all subdivision applications that are set forth in Sussex County Code. Sussex County Code sets 99-9C sets forth 17 mandatory factors a commission must consider in its decision whether to approve or deny a subdivision plan. Of these factors, a record demonstrates the appellant's application and presentation did not provide adequate or current information pertaining to 8 separate categories. Each of these deficiencies were outlined in the commission's reasons 2 through 9 for denying the application. Though the attorney for the appellee mostly focused on one of the deficiencies during his argument, the review of the record shows many concerns. More specifically, as addressed by the commission in detail, appellant did not adequately satisfy the following considerations. The applicant does not adequately satisfy section 99C1, which requires the consideration of an integration of the proposed subdivision into the existing terrain and surrounding landscape. The subdivision has extensive wetlands and woodlands, all of which are located within the individual lots. Even the buffer is located within the individual lots. There is no protection against future tree clearing or disturbance of the wetlands or the buffer areas by future lot owners. The applicant does not adequately satisfy section 999C2, which requires the minimal use of wetlands and floodplains. In this case, the wetlands are located solely within the lot lines. In fact, 13 of the 25 lots contain wetlands. This is not the minimal use of wetlands. Although there is a 50-foot wetlands buffer proposed, it is also located within each lot, which offers no guarantee that the buffer or the wetlands will be used or disturbed in the future comes once homes are built on various lots. The applicant does not adequately satisfy 999C3, which requires the consideration of the preservation of natural historic features. While there are no known historic features on the site, 13 of the lots contains wetland. The design of the subdivision is counter to the preservation of the natural areas, since the lots are oriented to the perimeter of the site where the wetlands and waterways are located, and not towards the interior of the site that was previously farmed, and no natural features exist. The application does not adequately satisfy section 99-9C4, which requires a consideration of the preservation of open space and scenic views. The design of the subdivision includes 14.75 acres of open space that is mainly oriented to the center of the site. The design does not preserve scenic views, particularly where the primary scenic view is the man-made lagoon and its view of the Broad Hill River beyond it, all of which is located within a single lot, Lot 15, that is not accessible to the other lots within the development. This application does not adequately satisfy section 99-9C5, which requires a consideration of the minimization of tree, vegetation, and soil removal, and grade changes. As already stated, all 38 acres of the existing forest is located within the individual lots. Although the applicant has stated that the forested areas will be preserved, the site plan that was submitted states that the tree line is shown for estimated lot clearing. Actual lot clearing varies. I am not satisfied that tree clearing will be minimized on these lots once homes are designed and built with rear yards, wells, and septic systems. I am not satisfied the applicant has adequately addressed the provision of sewage disposal as required by section 99-9C8. The applicant is proposing 25 individual septic systems, and I am not satisfied that the soils are adequate based upon the information contained in the record, which includes a 15-year-old soil study from 2006 that reviewed a completely different site plan with 2 cul-de-sacs and a different lot layout. In December of 2015, which is now almost 6 years ago, Denrec indicated that 4 of the lots in that old subdivision design were marginal for on-site wastewater treatment and disposal systems, and that one of the former lots was not feasible for an on-site system at all. The developer has redesigned the subdivision to address the lot with the bad soils, but Denrec has not reviewed the current plan to confirm that each of the lots will have adequate soils for on-site septic systems. This application does not adequately satisfy section 99-9C11, which requires its consideration of safe vehicular movement within the site and to adjacent ways in section 99-9C15, which requires consideration of the effect of area roadways. The site is located along Round Pole Bridge Road, which is an unlined tar and chip roadway with no shoulders and failing pavement edges. DelDOT has stated that it has no plans for any improvements to this roadway. The proposed entrance to the site is approximately 500 feet with a 90-degree turn in the road. Making it difficult to anticipate oncoming traffic. I'm not satisfied these circumstances provide for safe vehicular and pedestrian movement onto adjacent roadways, and the entrance creates an unsafe effect on the already marginal Round Pole Bridge Road. The Commission's findings include detailed, the thorough, and well thought out reasons for its unanimous vote to deny the application, including inadequate wetland, scenic view and tree protection, as well as the questionable viability of on-site individual septic systems. Of uttermost importance, as outlined by the Commission in December 13, 2021 letter, the proposed on-site individual septic systems were based on a 15-year-old soil evaluation from 2006 and a 6-year-old review thereof from 2015, both of which were based on a totally different plan that was provided to the Commission with this application and reviewed the public hearing. In fact, the Denrick review did not reflect the current subdivision plan lot numbers, that even under the old plan, several of the lots would need mound systems, being lots with different locations from the plan that was presented to the Commission. That after repeated contacts to do so, the appellant chose not to connect their sewer, which would have directly addressed this issue, and that appellant acknowledged that the plan contains some bad areas for septic systems. Moreover, the Commission expressed additional concern that the site is located in an environmentally sensitive area that is bound by the Beaver Dam Creek and the Broad Kill River and contains 28.7 acres of wetlands, contains 38.44 acres of woodlands, and pretty much everywhere you see woods has wetlands. This application does not provide adequate assurance that the woodlands, wetlands, and buffer areas will be protected, especially since they're located on the lots themselves, which will require on-site individual septic systems. The site plan even states, tree line is shown for estimated lot clearing, actual lot clearing varies. The foregoing facts demonstrate many deficiencies in the subdivision record presented to the Commission. These facts were collectively confirmed by statements in the record as the public hearing, and as the appellee explained in the Commission's December letter, December 13, 2021. There is substantial evidence in the record to deny subdivision plan based solely on appellant's inability to adequately address the concerns raised by 999C8. While the appellant argues that approval is required subject to the imposition of reasonable conditions, imposing conditions based on appellant's wide-ranging deficiencies under Section 99-9C would require the Commission to engage in a complete redesign of the subdivision plan, which is beyond the purview of its responsibilities. The Commission's findings speak for themselves. The Commission's reasons for its unanimous denial of the subdivision plan clearly demonstrate its decision was the result of an orderly and logical review of the evidence, that there was substantial evidence in the record to support the decision, and that it engaged in the proper interpretation and application of the chapter. That's my motion.
Thank you, Mr. President. Well stated.
Is there a second?
I second.
Okay, I have a motion and a second. Mr. Hudson. Questions on the motion? Not, we'll take the vote. Mr. Riley.
I can understand the positions on both sides. I've reviewed it thoroughly, but in light of the fact that our standard is whether the Planning and Zoning Commission acted in an orderly and logical and manner in conformance with the law, I have to agree that they did, so I will vote yes.
Mrs. Green.
I'm going to vote yes to uphold the decision of the Planning and Zoning Committee.
Mr. Hudson.
I vote yes to uphold the decision by the Planning and Zoning Commission.
I also vote yes to uphold the decision of the Planning and Zoning Commission. Motion carried. We have the minutes of December 14th. Any questions, corrections, additions to the minutes? Stand approved. Mr. Schaefer, okay, here he comes. Reading correspondence, Mr. Moore.
Yes, Mr. President. It took me a minute with all the piles of papers. We have Cape and Lupin Senior Center, Food Bank of Delaware, Multiplying Good, Delaware Breast Cancer Coalition, Good Samaritan Aid Organization, all in letters in appreciation of the human service grants.
And the correspondence from council? Correspondence from council. Okay. Move on to public comments. Now is the time anybody in the public can make a comment. You can address council for 3 minutes. Your conversation should be something council has some control of or interest in. Anybody want to make a comment? You can come first, sir, right here. The green light's going to come on. You got, when you get to red, you should be over it, hopefully. Good morning.
Good morning. I'm Michael Houlihan, mayor of Del Mar, Delaware. I'm just here this morning. I see under old business coming up on your agenda, discussing the ordinance to amend the future land use map of the comprehensive plan. I'm just asking that in that segment that there just be some clarifications. There are some narratives that are laying out there of these parcels, of possibly up to 11,000 units being built over 900 acres of land. Obviously, the town of Del Mar would be strongly in opposition to that, based upon how it would affect our schools, fire department, public safety, and roads.
Mr. President, if I may, we had a public hearing on this matter. I believe it was maybe the 13th or 14th of December, if I recall. And all the record was left open for written comments. However, the hearing itself was ended, if I recall correctly. If I'm wrong, let me know. So in that case, we could accept written comments, and I think you're going to address that issue later.
When we get that point in time, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. But so, yeah, we can accept public, but you can have, turn those comments in writing.
Yes, sir.
Please.
Okay.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Mr. Stone, I think you were next. Let's get things cleaned up here.
Good morning. Mr. President, members of the council, I'm Jeff Stone from Milton, represents the Sussex Alliance for Responsible Growth. I'm here this morning to speak about the process, or lack thereof, used by the county to consider potential changes to the future land use map of the county's comprehensive plan. I am not going to speak about any specific proposal. There is a general consensus that the process is flawed. In 2020, the Office of State Planning Coordination recommended that Sussex County develop and formalize a transparent, consistent process to replace the current sporadic approach. Recent testimony at public hearings by both map change proposers and opponents echoed this problem. Since 2003, a memorandum of understanding has existed between the county and the Delaware Office of State Planning Coordination that details the development activities requiring OSPC review. At least two of the seven listed activities directly relate to the current controversy over the future land use map designation changes. Just as with the recent DelDOT transportation MOU, this 19-year-old document needs modernization and updating, but it provides a foundation that the county, in cooperation with the state, could and should use to create a clear and concise process to analyze and evaluate proposed changes to the future land use map, review the implementation of the comp plan, and evaluate proposed changes, all the while assuring that this evaluation is done holistically on a consistent, timely, and open basis, fair to both the proposers as well as the general public. Sussex County is ill-served by continuing to allow a faulty process to create conflicts with critical state agencies, developers, and the public. There needs to be a structured, predictable, formal process by which the county evaluates proposed changes to the future land use map. Sarge strongly urges the council to immediately take the steps necessary to engage with the appropriate state agencies and all other stakeholders, including the public, to quickly review, revise, and expand as necessary the current MOU with the OSPC. Time constraints this morning do not allow an in-depth assessment, but in Sarge's view, there are three new critical items that should be included in a revised MOU. Provide a set time frame and deadline for submission of all proposals for consideration by the county. Provide a clear, timely notice of intent to seek a change of land use designation to nearby landowners, the county administration, and the public as the starting point of the evaluation process. Provide for an evaluation of the impact and significance of each individual proposal, as well as the cumulative impact of all proposed changes on the comp plan, including on infrastructure and services, prior to the decision to submit any change for state review. I provided a somewhat more detailed written copy for your consideration, and as always, we're willing to assist in the process in whatever manner is appropriate. Thank you for your time this morning.
Thank you. Yes, sir. Come on down.
Good morning. My name's Tom Bauer. I live in Del Mar, Delaware. I just want to echo the sentiments of our mayor. I'm here to speak about the tax ditch. I'm the tax ditch commissioner for the Jackson Branch tax ditch, which sits in the town of Del Mar. The area that requires maintenance sits on four main properties. Three of those are major acreage property owners, and the fourth is within the area known as Yorkshire Estates, a residential area consisting of 194 homes. The attached ditch cuts right through the middle of the development, passing through many homeowners' backyards. The ditch is a blight on the community. The weeds and trees grow out of control, and the ditch also collects garbage from the community. We know that the money we get from taxes is for controlling the flow of the water, not aesthetics, but the county allowed the development to be built with no regard for the future of the tax ditch and the community it goes through. We only collect approximately $700 per year due to the tax rate. There are 255 property owners on the tax ditch, but 37 of them pay $0 due to the way the law is written. When the county allows the development to go in, they need to think long-term about the consequences on the community in which the tax ditch is located. The developer paid a one-time fee of $1,500 to clear out less than one-fifth of the ditch. We can't afford to maintain the ditch with $700 a year. That covers merely a fraction of what needs to be done. The part of the ditch in the development would cost at least $6,000 per year. I know that it is aesthetics, but it was allowed to be put in a residential area, not on farmland, not out in the woods. Our current balance is $7,200 that's been collected over years because nothing's been done to the ditch. We have had two estimates for one-time clearing of the full 0.8-mile ditch, and they exceed $9,000. The piece going through the development for aesthetics needs to be done 3 to 4 times a year at a cost of $3,000 each time. Tax ditches in a development are a receptacle for garbage and are dangerous to the safety of our children living by them. If they are playing outside, their toy or them may fall into the ditch, making it a safety concern for the child and parents. Filling in a portion of the ditch would give the property owner more use of their land, eliminate the danger the ditch creates. The ditch should have a storm pipe buried in it to carry the water its destination away from the area, the same type of pipe used to keep the flow going when they put a road over the tax ditch. The current tax structure for maintaining the tax ditch doesn't work anymore. As commissioner of the tax ditch, I am asking you to reevaluate allocating monies to maintain the ditch, improve the property, improve the process so that all property owners on the ditch pay their fair share, not just some of the property owners, and possibly let the county take over maintaining the ditches on a case-by-case assessment. Thank you.
If you'd like to, you can turn that into the clerk of the council for a public record. If we keep that your statement there.
Mr. President, can I ask a quick question?
Mr. Schaefer.
Thank you.
I haven't dealt with tax ditches for
that's some time.
What is or isn't the responsibility of the county towards tax ditches? Is that conservation district solely, or does the county bear?
Mr. Moore?
It's the conservation that has the district has jurisdiction, and often, yeah, and there's also a tax portion that's added to the tax bill that goes to funding those as well.
But the county's just acting as a collection agency.
Correct.
Each tax ditch sets their own tax rate. That is correct.
Okay. Yeah. Right, and we help fund Sussex Conservation as well.
Right.
But I suggest perhaps get up with me after the meeting, Ms. Bauer, and discuss maybe the role that the Sussex Conservation plays in maintaining that ditch.
Sure.
Yeah. Okay.
Anyone else in the audience want to speak? Public comment. Yes, sir, come on up.
Morning, Council President Vincent, council members, other county officials. Thank you for the opportunity to speak before you this morning. My name is David C. I've lived most of my adult life in Sussex County, Delmar, Delaware. Currently reside at 38297 Providence Church Road, south of Delmar Road. As a matter of disclosure, I've known Mr. Vincent for a number of years. I've emailed each of the council members, known Mike through our fire service connection. But I haven't spoken with either of you on this topic. And for brevity and time constraints, and with the realization that most of my comments probably would have been more appropriate for the public hearing, I'm going to speak briefly on my concerns with respect to the ordinance to change the properties known as the Horseshoe Farm and the Blackwater Creek development from low density to developing areas. As I've said, I've lived in the area for a number of years. I've spoken with another number of residents who weren't aware of the proposed change, the proposed ordinance, and are obviously concerned.
Yes, Mr. President, if he's going to be discussing that ordinance that we had the public hearing on, I would indicate that that would not be proper because the public hearing was closed, but I do believe that there's going to be a way that he can address in writing when we come to that.
That's correct.
Yes.
Yeah. I would just, in closing, I would ask that the council consider the pause suggested by Mr. Edgehill at the last meeting to have further discussions about the matter. Thank you. Have a copy of my comments for the clerk.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Anyone else in the audience?
Thank you.
Looks like you all want to say something.
Mrs. Lee.
Good morning. I hope you can hear me from here with my mask on. I take this very seriously, so I apologize. I'd like to talk about the procedure of the land use map also. It's about the procedure. I think one of the reasons that the resident did not show up from Del Mar is because it is very difficult to know what area is being proposed to change. When you look at the public hearing notice in the newspaper, you only see the land map, tax map ID. There's no indication of where it's about. So there's no way to tell from the public hearing notice. And also in the agenda, the same thing. And for the Great Marsh area or the Overbrook area, somebody happened to stumble onto it and identified it as, oh, it's that area. That's why people showed up, but not in the Del Mar area. So I think something has to change in terms of the public notice mechanism, because people will not know. Thank you very much.
Thank you, ma'am. Anyone else in the public? Anyone else in the public? Seeing none, operator, would you check online, please, for any public comment? Oh, I'm sorry.
No, you're right. Go ahead. I'll ask.
Please check online, operator.
If anyone has joined via the conference line and would like to make a public comment, please dial 5-star. Again, if anyone has joined via the conference line and would like to make a public comment, please dial 5-star.
Thank you, operator. We will close public comments. Mr. Law, are you trying to tell me? Do you want to move on to the 10:30 public hearing?
No, I was. It looks like we have some audience attendees that are interested in the old business section, and knowing that the public hearing is going to last several minutes, if not hours, I don't know if, Mr. President, you want to consider old business will take maybe 2 minutes.
Well, I was going to go down the list, and of course, that appeared before public hearing.
Yeah.
So I'm going to assume that these things hopefully are going to be short between now and then.
We could make them as short as possible.
There you go.
Mr.
Moore, you're up short.
Yes, thank you, Mr. President. I had planned to be so. I have reviewed all the letters and emails concerning both the process and the proposed maps presented to Council on December 14th of 21. The comments before we presented the maps were overwhelmingly in support of the League of Women Voters maps or derivations thereof. Since the maps have been unveiled, the comments have been very supportive about the drafting of the maps. The comment that has been most prevalent and on a totally different topic than what my charge was concerned the whether or not there would be elections after, for all the districts afterwards. My charge was simply to draft maps and to make sure they're compliant with the guidelines set by the courts. Many of the comments have implied that this quote-unquote problem about the elections is a Sussex County problem only. It is not. It is a statewide issue that occurs in all the counties. After redistricting, there's never been special elections or truncated terms set forth in the Delaware Code for any of the counties. And that is simply not our charge and what I am working on. I'm in the process now of drafting an ordinance for introduction. We've kind of got held up a little bit with the snow days. I intend at the next meeting to actually have an ordinance prepared for introduction. We have used the software that we use in order to draft the maps, and it is the same software that's used by the Board of Elections. And frankly, I was totally unimpressed with how it drafted the maps. For example, when we'd give the legal description, it would say, go down a road, and name the road, say Johnson Road, and then take a left across an unseen imaginary line to another road. Well, obviously, that's very difficult to use for a legal description. So we've reached out to the Board of Elections because the state legislature, when their staff was drafting their law, they hit the same problem. So how they complied was they actually used census districts and census blocks to give a legal description. That's unsatisfactory to me because how does the general public know when you look at a census block if I'm in that or not? So I am proposing, and what we're working on is having tried to refine the map that comes from our software, give a better description instead of imaginary lines. In addition, so there's no confusion, in the ordinance also have the description that the Board of Elections is working with us on, where we identify the actual census blocks and sub-blocks, and also attaching the maps, because I think it's important that when the public or any office holder goes to run for an office looking at it, that they be able to see something that tells them where their district is. So I'm proposing that when I come forward with an ordinance, that it would have all three so that we make sure that we're compliant. And as indicated, that I anticipate next meeting that being before you so that it can be introduced. After it's introduced, it will be scheduled for a public hearing. And I want to emphasize that public hearing is going to be on the maps. It is not going to be on any tangential issues concerning elections, et cetera, but it's going to be on the maps themselves. So that's the quick version.
Thank you, sir. Did a good job. Mr. Lawson?
Thank you, Mr. President. County Administrator's report for January 11th, 2022. Delaware State Police year-to-date activity report for November 2021 is attached, listing the number of violent crimes and property crime arrests, as well as total traffic charges and corresponding arrests. In addition, DUI and total vehicle crashes investigated are listed. In total, there were 189 troopers assigned to Sussex County for the month of November. Item 2, per the attached engineering department fact sheet, Welch's Pond, formerly known as Fieldstone, the Grove at Love Creek, Phase 1A construction record and Outer Banks South construction record received substantial completion effective December 13th and 21st, respectively. Item 3, the county offices will be closed on Monday, January 17th for Martin Luther King Day. Offices will reopen Tuesday, January 18th at 8:30. Council will not meet on January 18th. The next regularly scheduled meeting will be Tuesday, January 25th at 10 a.m. Thank you, Mr. President.
Thank you, sir. Mr. Jennings.
Thank you, Mr. President. Since there is a change in leadership, we do need to change the signers on our bank account. So I have a title for a resolution. The resolution is authorizing the signatures on the accounts of the Sussex County Council with various financial institutions and investment firms to be Michael H. Vincent, President, Douglas B. Hudson, Vice President, and Gina A. Jennings, Finance Director and Chief Operating Officer.
Thank you, Council.
So moved.
Motion, Mr. Schaefer. Second. Second, Mr. Riley. Any questions? Take the vote, Mr. Schaefer.
Yes.
Mrs. Green.
Yes.
Mr. Hudson.
Yes.
Mr. Riley.
Yes.
I vote yes, motion carried. Thank you. Next.
Okay, the next one is, I'm just going to give you a quick update on our budget and then ask for your consideration on possibly amending the budget. So as of the first quarter, the general fund budget expenses were under budget by $2 million, but our revenues were over $10 million, all which have to do with realty transfer tax. It's not taxes or anything like that. As we're ending the second quarter, our expenses are still under budget and our revenues are still over budget because of realty transfer tax. And as you know, realty transfer tax can only be spent on certain things. So I was wondering if council wanted to amend the budget, we would introduce a budget amendment next meeting to spend the extra realty transfer tax. My recommendation would be $12 million. It would be $6.4 million to the towns and the rest of it going to open space for, or land acquisition for open space. My thought there is for the towns to be very similar to the what you did last year when you amended the budget, which was $250,000 per fire company, the ambulance companies. It would be an average like that for the towns. And at the same time, when we amend the budget, I also have a housekeeping item where we had some grants come in from the state and the grants had to go back out. I just asked that we do that. So I'm asking at this time, is there consensus that I come back next week to amend the budget for that extra $12 million in RT2?
Anybody opposed to that? Please bring that back to us.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you, ma'am. Now, old business. I see we have Mr. Whitehouse on the screen. He's in quarantine, I guess, or something.
Can you all hear me?
He looks better on TV.
Oh.
The first question is, if there would amend the future land use map of the comprehensive plan, if this tax parcel, though, is District 532, Map 12, Parcel 1, and District 32, Map 12, Parcel 27, District 532, Map 18, Parcel 42, and District 532, Map 18, Parcel 44, and District 532, Map 19, Parcel 1. County Council may remember this for the public hearing on September 14th of last year. At the conclusion of that hearing, Council took the record open for the receipt of additional comments. I can confirm, Mr. President, that we have now comments that have been received in relation to the ordinance, plus those comments that have been received this morning. Following the County Council hearing on December 14th, staff have begun discussions with the State Planning Office, specifically relating to the process for future land use map amendments. Confirm that the outcome of those discussions will be reported to council at a future meeting. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Any questions of council, Mr. Whitehouse, on this issue? I think now would be the appropriate time. Mr. Moore, I guess you'd read the short title.
Yes. An ordinance to amend the future land use map of the comprehensive plan in relation to tax parcel number 532-12-1, 532-12-27, 532-18-42, 532-18-44, and 532-19-1.
As per Mr. Whitehouse report, as we left the December meeting, we asked the staff and the administration to meet with the DLDOT, and who are not DLDOT, State Office of Planning, and find out some issues that apparently were brought forward to us. They've started those meetings. That process will continue until we get a resolution on how we can work this thing forward. So at this point in time, I entertain a motion to defer and to leave the record open until our next meeting for public written comment.
I'll make that motion.
Motion, Mr. Riley.
Sorry.
Second, Mr. Schaefer. Questions on a motion? Take the vote, Mr. Schaefer.
Yes.
Mrs. Green.
Yes.
Mr. Hudson.
Yes.
Mr. Riley.
Yes.
I will have motion carried. Next, sir.
Thank you. Next, item of business is an ordinance to amend the land use of the comprehensive plan in relation to tax parcel number 235, map 23, parcel 2.02, which is a portion of 1.00, 1.04, and 2.00. District 235-23, Parcel 2.01. Again, with the last item, Mr. President, Council may remember this as a public hearing that was held at the last meeting in December. At the conclusion of that meeting, Kerry kept to lift the record open for receipt of additional comments. I can confirm that in total, as of the start of this meeting, we have received 143 written responses in opposition, 49 responses in support. Plus any additional comments that were received as of this morning. As with the last item, we have begun discussions with the State Planning Office to discuss the process for future land use map amendments, and the outcome of those discussions would be reported at an upcoming meeting. Thank you.
Question of Council. Mr. Moore, read a short title, please.
Thank you, Mr. President. An ordinance to amend the future land use map of the comprehensive plan in relation to tax parcel number 235-23-2.02, a portion thereof, 235-23 parcel 1, 235-23 parcel 1.04, 235 map 23 parcel 2, and 235 map 23 parcel 2.01.
For the same reasons that we did the previous one, I would entertain a motion to defer, leave the record open until next meeting for any public written comment. Motion, Mr. Schaefer. Second. Mr. Hudson. Any questions on the motion? Take the vote, Mr. Schaefer.
Yes.
Mrs. Green.
Yes.
Mr. Hudson.
Yes.
Mr. Riley.
Yes.
I will, yes. Motion carried. Mr. Moore, time for our public hearing.
Well, before we move on.
Sorry, Mr. Riley.
Could we make that stipulation that we discussed that this discussion does not, even if these were approved, does not mean that any parcel is applying or receiving a change of zoning, and there are no applications currently pending for any development west of Del Mar or over on Route 1. So this is a the designation to the land use map change only, but is not changing the zoning per se, and there is no development in process or proposed. Am I stating that accurately? I just want to be clear.
No, you are.
Yeah. And I mean, I really, there's been a lot of emotion around this, understandably so. I mean, I have to say, 15,000 homes, you know, west of Del Mar, you know, well, it's not going to happen, not in my tenure. So I understand the emotion around it, but I'd like to set people's mind at ease. And I certainly understand where people are coming from, that even the change in the zoning map would begin to set that motion potentially in process. But nothing like that is being contemplated at this time, as far as change of zone or a large new development.
No, your comments are right on point. And so I think we all agree with that there's, as of 10:49 today, there is no application even talked about for either one of these pieces of property. This is simply talking about the change of the land use map. But there's no, none that's sitting there in the wings about building thousands of houses or golf courses or whatever else we're talking about. That is not factual.
And Mr. President, even if there was an application, and we don't know if there will be or won't be, that would then require additional public hearings. So nothing's going to be done in a vacuum.
Correct.
The public is going to have an opportunity to, you know, and I have no idea whether there's going to be any application. But there will be additional public hearings that the public will be permitted and encouraged to attend and express their opinions.
That is correct. Any proposal would go through the Planning and Zoning Commission, then through County Council, and
and they'd have to meet all the requirements of water and septic and
all those things.
Yes, all those things.
Now then, Mr. Moore, time for public hearing.
Thank you, Mr. President. Now's the time and place for a public hearing on an ordinance to amend Chapter 99, Sections 99.5-5, 99-6, 99-7, 99-23, 24, 26, and 30, and Chapter 115, Sections 115.